Happy Friday and welcome into the Camel Call Podcast. I'm Chris Haymeyer. This episode packed full of interviews as we will visit with the head volleyball coach for Campbell, Greg Gorrell, to talk about his fantastic start to the season. His team undefeated against non-Power 4 opponents this year. They are in first place in the CAA and hosting a really good Charleston team this weekend at Gore Arena. And a really fun interview with former Campbell cheerleader BT Hale. Now, BT is in the new NBC competition show On Brand, which is hosted by Jimmy Fallon. It airs on Tuesdays and Friday nights on NBC. So all of that coming up. But first, we've got a lot to tell you about. There is so much going on this weekend. As mentioned, volleyball tonight, Friday night at 6 p.m. Our cross-country team today, they are at the East Carolina Pirate Invitational. And then on Saturday, packed full. Volleyball is back again. They will take on Charleston again. And our men's soccer team will also take on Charleston at 6 o'clock on Saturday night. Volleyball 3, men's soccer at 6, both of those competitions. All of our volleyball and soccer games are free to everyone. Our men's soccer team, by the way, putting together a really great season. So they lost their first match of the year against local Power Davidson. But then since then, unbeaten in 8 of their last 9 matches, including 5 straight where they have either won or tied. Their only loss in those 9 matches that we talked about since the first match of the season was a 1-0 loss at 4th-ranked Wake Forest. So they are putting together a really, really good season. Head coach Dustin Fonder, he picked up his 100th win as a Campbell head coach last Tuesday. We will be honoring him on the field. This coming Tuesday, Campbell steps out of conference and takes on Charlotte, but the big one coming up this Saturday at 6 p.m. Our women's soccer team, they're on a roll, unbeaten in their last 3 matches, all conference matches. They have won 2 straight in the conference, including a 1-0 victory over William and Mary last night. They scored in the last minutes of the match. They will take on Elon, also at home. That match is Sunday at 6 p.m. Our women's tennis team, on the road at the Coastal Carolina Invite this weekend, and women's golf tees it up at the Mercedes-Benz Intercollegiate in Knoxville, Tennessee, starting on Sunday. Also this weekend, on Saturday, another Campbell team is going away, but not too far away. The football team heads up to Raleigh to take on NC State on the gridiron for the first time in program history. Now, Campbell getting paid a really big check, as FCS teams do when they play FBS teams. They will take on a Wolfpack team that will be heavily favored. This game sold out, but there are plenty of tickets on the secondary market at decent prices if you would like to make the short trip up to Raleigh. As we are almost to the halfway point in the football season, and will be after the game against NC State on Saturday. Now look, I know the record is what it is, 1-4 right now, but at the beginning of the season, when people asked me what I thought was going to happen this football season, I said, you know, I believe this team is going to be better, that this team also could play well in every game, but at the halfway point of the season, because of how tough the schedule is, really tough non-conference teams, tough conference teams, and of course the 2 FBS teams where you get paid to play, I said, if you look at how tough their schedule is, their record may not be that great at the halfway point, even though they are a better team. And quite frankly, I think that is an accurate assessment if you look at this team right now and for what I have seen with my own eyes. Look, take the ECU game out of it. Again, a big check to go up and play in Greenville. Campbell opened the year at top 10 ranked. Rhode Island played really well in the majority of that game, had the lead going into the 4th quarter. At home against Furman, a really good SoCon team, Campbell had the lead in the 4th quarter. You change 1 penalty, and Campbell probably wins that game. Then they come back and beat Bryant in a game that they had to win, beat Bryant in double overtime. They win that game, so at the halfway point, they will be 1-1 in the CAA. The one win that they got was a conference game. Step out of conference again last weekend, They take on a Western Carolina team who, you will remember, they were ranked in the top 20 to begin the year, but they played and lost all three games at the beginning of the season as their star quarterback was suspended. Star quarterback came back. They've won two in a row, including that Campbell game. Now, Campbell did not play well in the first half and was without their star as well, receiver Randall King out for the entire game. But down three scores at halftime in the second half, they came back in the second half, made it a one-score game a couple of times, could have won that game, and I think most importantly, showed a ton of fight. Coaching staff made adjustments, the team made adjustments, and they showed a ton of fight. So as we look past the NC State game and at the second half of the season, you look at October. Big conference road games at 1-4 Hampton right now and 1-4 NC A&T. Sandwich in between that is a CAA game against a pretty good New Hampshire team. They're a CAA football school only. They're receiving votes in the national poll. But that game is at home in front of what you would assume would be a huge homecoming game crowd as usual. Single game homecoming tickets on sale now, by the way. Then in November, back-to-back home games against Elon and William & Mary, and you end the year away at Towson. All three of those games, Elon and William & Mary at home, Towson away, those are teams that will be in the top half of the conference. Good teams, not great teams, at least from what we have seen so far this year. Can you pencil in any wins at all in the last half of the season for Campbell football? Nope. But can you pencil in any losses? From what I've seen, you can't. There's a lot of wins out there for Campbell football. Three more really good home games left. Tickets are at GoCamels.com. So, speaking of tickets available, season ticket renewals for men's and women's basketball are out now. Season and single game tickets will be available soon. We finally have the schedule out, and I know we haven't had the home schedule completed until just last week, but we've been focusing on all the whole high-profile games away from the men's team. They'll be playing at Gonzaga, at Minnesota, at Penn State, at Wisconsin. So many really good away games. But they've got a really good home schedule as well. Non-conference, they'll host Western Michigan and Ball State, both those teams out of the MAC. They host Green Bay right before Christmas. And then, of course, NCAA play, why CAA is so much fun in all the sports, but especially in basketball. Charleston, UNCW, Drexel, Northeastern, all coming here to Gore Arena this season. The full schedule is out at GoCamels.com. Single game tickets. Many plans will be available soon as well, but you really can't beat the deal you get for one price for season tickets, all the men's games, all the women's games. Definitely check out the options at GoCamels.com. Gore Arena will be rocking this winter with basketball, but Gore Arena rocking this weekend as well as our volleyball team takes the floor versus Charleston. And here is my interview with head coach Greg Gorrell. Joining me now, he is the longest tenured and winningest head coach in Campbell volleyball program history, the first to bring titles, and he brought two, a regular season and tournament title here to Campbell in his 13th season. And we are well into the season, a lot to talk about, but finally back at home, Campbell volleyball will be home for two against another really good team in the CAA. Campbell, Friday night at 6 o'clock, taking on Charleston. It will be a rally towel giveaway. And then on Saturday, our mental health awareness match at 3 o'clock. And joining me now to talk about the fantastic start to the season is head coach Greg Gorrell. And coach, we'll start right there. Not only is your team 10-3 overall, 2-0 in conference, if you look closer at your schedule, you are 10-0 against non-Power 4 opponents. Your three losses have come to Clemson, South Carolina, and at Northwestern. A sensational start to the season. What has been fueling this great start for your team?
I think part of it was we're healthy and we're deeper. I think this team was also highly motivated from not having the success that we're used to. And so there's a lot of drive in these players. And we've added, you know, six quality athletes to our program, two seasoned transfers and four talented freshmen. So across the board, We have a team that has a lot of experience, and then we also have a lot of youth and talent that complements our experience, leadership, and, you know, poise and composure of our senior players.
Well, as you have mentioned, some fantastic new talent. Let's talk about that freshman class, headlined by a freshman player out of Poland, of all places, that is showing up on the Freshman of the Week, Player of the Week. She's already racked up tons of awards.
Yeah, Maya's doing a great job for us. She is not the biggest player out there, but she's dynamic, strong, really attacks with a lot of aggressiveness, and has, you know, a very lethal jump serve. So she's in the top 10 in the country in aces per set. And then she's actually one of, if not our best passer as well. So she's doing things both offensively and defensively to really help us be efficient on both sides.
It's exciting to watch that jump serve too, isn't it? Tell me about, you have always, since you have been here, you have recruited all across the nation, which has been one of your secrets to success. How do you get someone from Poland to come play volleyball in Buies Creek?
Well, it takes a few phone calls. It also takes a new era of recruiting across the world, is that there are people you can use the term agents if you want, that help international students find places to play in the United States. So I'll get emails from different professionals, professional agent services, companies, whatever you want to call them, about athletes in their countries that want to play in the U.S. Now, in this era of videos, it's very easy for them to send you a video link to see their abilities and then start those conversations better than like 10 years ago. So we have a contact in Poland. He was a volunteer assistant at the University of Florida for their volleyball program. And I'd actually talked to him about my assistant position 5, 6, 7 years ago. He went back to Poland and is now helping athletes get placed in the U.S. And so, again, like I, you know, just doing my due diligence, you know, you find the right players or players that might fit. And again, international players typically want to go to the bigger cities. But Maya wanted a more family-oriented, close-knit community where she could excel. And I, you know, it worked out, you know, really well for both of us.
You were also talking about a couple of key season transfers that have really helped round off this this lineup for you.
Yeah. So Bella Illig played for the same club program that Claire Ann Fechter did, our 4-year starting libero, who's ridiculously good. And so they know each other. And Bella finished her career at a D2 as the libero of the year in her conference, and wanted the challenge of doing it at the Division I level. And it worked out really well. She has come in and just has, again, the poise and composure of a senior, the skill of someone who's been doing this a very long time, and just the awareness and positioning. Like, she's always in the right spot. And if you beat her once, she's not going to let you beat her again with the same shot. So that has really solidified our serve receive, and why we're hitting for such a high percentage is that we're in system a lot. And then defensively, she can handle the heaviest swings that you can send at her. And she's in good position, you know, most of the time. So that part's been great. Lauren Wheeler has come in, and she has a number of years of college experience, hasn't played as much being at various schools, but brings, again, a little bit more of that leadership and composure of a third, fourth-year player, and like has done a very good job in the setting position for us, not only from setting, but defensively and from the service line as well.
And just adding these ingredients to a core of your returners who are finally healthy has just really rounded out this lineup, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been great. I mean, the four seniors that we had already, make a big impact, and then having Hannah Patty healthy as her red shirt freshman year, I guess, being out all of last year, being an elite level setter for us, is again just putting people in positions to score. And we have the depth, again, not only on the pins, but we have four quality middles, three quality defensive players. The hardest part sometimes is like we're splitting hairs to figuring out like what lineups should be or what we need to do. The good part about it is that when we've had some injuries, and we've had quite a few already this season, is that we can put people in the lineup that are still going to be really effective for us. Like our depth is our biggest strength. And a couple weekends ago, we had both starting pins or two starting pins out for us, and we were able to go with three middles out on the floor. And so we have that versatility, flexibility that we didn't have last year, and not many teams do have. So it's been fun.
Your team, of course, coming back home, you've played a very difficult schedule, been successful in it, have the second best RPI in the entire conference right now. A big challenge this weekend, Friday at 6, Saturday at 3, taking on Charleston. To tell me about them.
Charleston does a very good job with recruiting transfers as well. They have a great right side that came from ECU. She is an elite athlete, a great blocker, great offensively as well. And then they have six of their own freshmen. And the two freshman middles actually got all-conference weekly awards this past week, one offensively, one defensively. So they will test us again. Like, we're going to have to be sharp offensively to score. And then as a whole, Charleston is typically a very successful team in our conference, top, you know, two to three, you know, every year. And they obviously won the conference last year. So they are always, a very strong team throughout. And so it'll take, a very good effort on both the offensive and defensive side to keep pressure on them. I think we'll be able to do a good job of that. But they're also going to be one of the more balanced teams that we face this fall. And so they're going to cause problems for us. And we need to win the serve and pass battle, and then find ways to score more than they do.
How great will it be to be back home?
It'll be good. It's been a month. And I was actually just thinking about that as I walked in today. It'll be nice to be in front of the home crowd. We've done a very good job this week of hopefully getting a lot of students and student athletes to our games. I know the community backs us well, and you know, we're playing great volleyball. So it's a lot of fun to watch, and hopefully that home court advantage definitely works for us.
Absolutely. And of course, I can convince myself I haven't been here for a decade and a half. It doesn't seem like it. And that's in a very good way. But then I take a look at the coaches that have been here almost as long as me, and their daughters and sons. And I look at Josie, who I literally knew when she was a baby, now in fifth grade. Tell me about what she's doing.
Well, she's having a good time. She's got a great personality, and now she's going to start playing club volleyball this fall,
right?
For NC Intensity. That'll be our first foray into this. We're keeping it within a local club. We don't have to go traveling across the country, but we'll see how much she really enjoys this. She comes into practice with me a lot of times and is passing and digging balls. I can hit balls pretty hard at her, and she's fine.
Wow.
And now she's developing arm swings, and she has really good contact. So from a skill standpoint, she's doing a great job. It's like, will she be willing to do what it takes, like in practices and going to matches and things like that, but she's enjoying it quite a bit. And I think that's the path that she wants to get on. So but I'm not forcing her to, I'm just, you know, whatever she wants to do. I'll be excited for her.
Yeah. Coaching, student athletes at the Division I level, that is one set of difficulties. Coaching your daughter is another set, I would assume.
Yeah. I'm not going to coach her, and, I will let other people do that. I think that's also something that she has to learn.
Yeah.
I've sent her to a few other camps that I'm not coaching at. And even in our own camps, I'm not on her court, so that she understands and learns the different types of coaching styles there are and how to work with different coaches. So again, like this is her interest, her passion, and I will let her run with it. I will also, you know, help her along the way. Like after most of our practices, she wants to pass or hit balls or do whatever. And so I'm always happy to do that with her. Just like help her along with her own volleyball career, if that's what she wants to do.
Well, fantastic. And she's learning from the best, as we know. Our coach will be back in action with his team. And again, if you haven't seen the jump serve yet, come out and see it from Maya. It's sensational. And they will be two chances to see them both against a really good Charleston team. 6 o'clock on Friday, 3 o'clock on Saturday. Thank you so much, Coach, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Chris.
That's our volleyball head coach, Greg Gorl.
Hey, Camel fans. This is Braxton Harris, and I've got one question for you. Are you ready for game day? Well, get your game face on, because Campbell's 2025 football season is here. We're bringing the energy, the grit, and the passion, and we want you to be right there with us. But hey, game day is just the beginning. You want to make a real impact? Then it's time to step up and join the Fighting Camel Club. Being a part of the Fighting Camel Club means you become the team behind the team, fueling scholarships, training, and academic success for not just our football athletes, but all 21 of our sports. When you join, you're not just a fan, you're a game changer. So what do you say, Camel Nation? Let's make a difference together. Join the Fighting Camel Club today and help us build champions on the field, in the classroom, and beyond.
To round out the Camel Call podcast, I did a really fun interview earlier this week on Monday with former cheerleader here at Campbell, BT Hale. He also has a trust and wealth management degree and a law degree from Campbell. He's from just outside of Fayetteville. He is one of 10 contestants on Jimmy Fallon's new show On Brand, which is a marketing and advertising reality show. Episode 1 aired on Tuesday. Really, really entertaining. And we did this interview before the premiere, but episode 2 is out tonight, Friday night. And we have another interview with BT talking about that first episode and talking about what's coming up. That is available right now. Just search Campbell Athletics YouTube. You go to the Campbell Athletics YouTube page and you will see it. But here is the interview really telling his whole story and about how he got involved with this show from Monday. It is a pleasure to be talking to BT Hale anytime, because not only does he have a trust and wealth management and a law degree from Campbell, he was also a Campbell mascot and cheerleading alum and was homecoming queen king here at Campbell. Now look, now this should be an hour-long podcast just on its own, but he is here with us right now because premiering this Tuesday, September 30th at 10 Eastern on NBC, BT is one of 10 creatives competing in a brand new reality competition called On Brand with Jimmy Fallon. Yeah, that Jimmy Fallon. So, BT, first of all, love the outfit as always, repping Campbell as always. But if you can tell me about this new show and how the heck did you land it?
Man, you know, it's a crazy story. You know, ever since my CU days, I've been interested in, you know, the reality TV shows. While I was at Campbell, I applied to be on Real World and made it to like the finals to be on Real World, but didn't actually make it all the way through. So because of that, I've always just like applied for things. And well, one of the more recent ones I applied for was Big Brother and made it to the finals. They flew me out to LA, everything, but got cut last minute. But because of that, the casting directors had my information in the Rolodex type thing. And so when this opportunity popped up, one of them reached out to me and they were like, hey, we think you'd be great for this show. It kind of matches, you know, what you do. And I looked at it because, you know, people have reached out to me about shows before, but, you know, I didn't want to be on TV just to be on TV. I wanted to be like connected to the show or, you know, the concept. And this was one that I thought, you know, really seemed cool because it was a marketing competition show. And at the point when we were applying, we didn't know that Jimmy was the host. So that was like a huge surprise. But I was like, you know what? We'll give it a shot. I applied, went through, you know, a couple different steps in that process, and then found out I made it. And that's when they told us, when we found out we made it, is when they told us that Jimmy was the host. And that was like, whoa. So this is way bigger than what I had realized when I, you know, agreed to go through with the casting process.
Well, I guess that would be first and foremost. I mean, Jimmy Fallon, the executive producer, but he is the host of the show. I mean, you're calling him Jimmy, which says enough right there. Talk about working alongside this TV icon.
You know, it was really crazy because you never know what to expect when you meet these people that we look at through the television and, you know, that you never see in real life. But Jimmy was the same person that you see on TV, like on set, that from the moment he stepped on the set, even before the cameras were rolling, Jimmy was just Jimmy. So it was pretty cool to like see how, you know, he's just got that energy, that positive attitude all the time. Very fun loving. And then the other host is Bozeman St. John. She's on The Real Housewives, but she's also just like super decorated in the marketing world. Like she's literally in the Marketing Hall of Fame. So they brought up a good duo because, you know, she brings all of the credentials, the, you know, marketing experience. Jimmy's got the, you know, fun, passion, entertainment side. So it was cool to see them work together and bring the show to life.
And about this show, you know, it's going to premiere and we're going to see and know a whole lot about it. But tell us what you can tell us about this competition where it seems like every week you're trying to come up with a brand new marketing campaign for some iconic brands.
Yeah, it was a lot because, you know, just for example, I'll give you, so for part of the casting process, what they had us do was do two things that would be similar to what we would do on the show. So the first one was, you know, McDonald's. McDonald's is looking to give Ronald McDonald an update. So we had to come up with an idea for Ronald McDonald to be updated. We had to come up with, you know, a whole campaign built around that. And then the other one was Taco Bell. Taco Bell's looking to become the go-to hangover spot. I know we're not allowed to talk about hangovers at Campbell, but the go-to hangover spot. And so come up with a meal deal or merchandise item that will get people excited about going to Taco Bell the next day. And so, you know, it's just stuff like that. Some fun stuff. You know, they talk about it in the commercial Southwest. We had to come up with a plane wrap. So you're going to literally see these ideas that people came up with put onto a plane for Southwest. You know, for Dunkin' Donuts, we came up with a meal deal that you're going to see somebody's meal deal, the winner of the meal deal contest, literally their meal deal is going to be available to purchase, you know, nationwide. So all of these things, you know, they have real life impact after the show, which is cool to see. But yeah, it's just everything like Sonic. We were told to create a drink, you know, KitchenAid. We were told to make up a web content series, you know, just all types. Fairbody. We were told to make a commercial. So it's just there's all types of things that they asked of us. And it's pretty cool to see everything come to life. And then it's going to be extra cool to see it come to life after the show.
Yeah, and I guess that's where we can start when we talk about getting into the show. You're doing all of this high-pressure situation while you realize you're on national TV and there's cameras and microphones everywhere. What was that whole process of, like, just being on a reality show?
You know, it's a lot different than I expected because it's a lot of hurry up and wait when it comes to the reality show. You know, where the sense of, like, Big Brother, you're sitting in a house and you're being recorded 24/7. Well, this wasn't like that. I mean, it's all filmed and it's all real. Like we didn't have a script or anything to go off of, but you know, we are waiting to film, and, you know, so there was a lot of like hurry up and wait, which was kind of, you know, something that you don't think about. So a lot of like long days, you know, we would leave the hotel at like 7 a.m, ride to the studio. Very first thing, we always start out with hair and makeup, which, you know, I'm a little upset. My hair and makeup team didn't follow me to today's podcast, but I couldn't get them booked in time. But that was a unique thing, like, you know, because I've never started my day with hair and makeup, so that was a unique process. So we'd start with hair and makeup. Obviously, you know, the girls would take a little bit longer during their process because they have more to do. So a lot of it for the guys, we're just sitting there waiting for everybody to get ready. And then there's so many moving parts because this show production was huge. And obviously, I don't know that because of the fact that I've been on all types of different productions, but people that were there, like our handlers, other people that, you know, our story person, they were like, yeah, this is one of the biggest productions I've ever been a part of because wow. The amount of cameras that are there, the set, it was astonishing. So I feel like I'm kind of spoiled at this point because it was so big. But, you know, being under those lights, being on camera, that was all the natural part to me. I've always liked to say I'm an entertainer. You know, I love to entertain. I love cheerleading. I loved, you know, being the mascot. So being under the bright lights wasn't hard. The hard part was definitely like, you know, coming up with these campaigns because it's unlike anything that I've ever experienced in my role in the real world, you know?
Man, that sounds amazing. And you were telling me too, when we were talking before we started recording this, that the fact was you shot this way back in April. You couldn't say anything about it to anyone until they really started this rollout, which just happened about a month ago. What was that like, keeping all of this bottled up inside?
Oh yeah, it was so crazy because, you know, we were filming for like 20 to 25 days, somewhere in that range. So, you know, I'm gone to New York, New Jersey, away from my family, away from work for that long. And then, you know, just interacting with all these people that are, you know, Jimmy Fallon that we see on TV, all these huge brands, being up in New York. And it was like a whole nother experience in life. And I get back and I literally just like can't talk about it to, you know, anybody. You know, luckily for me, you know, the job that I'm working at now, we're opening up another venue in Houston. So I kind of had to like an easy, oh yeah, I've been in Houston, you know, cause everybody asks, where you been? Oh yeah, I've been in Houston, you know, getting some work done out there. So I had a little bit of an easy access, to an excuse, but still it's just, you had all this excitement and you had all this fun that just happened and you come back and it's like, it never happened. So it was very strange. Like, it's like, it almost felt like a dream. Like I had just lived an alternate reality and I've moved back home and now it's like life comes back as you know it. And then, you know, we couldn't talk about it until they announced the cast, which was not until September 1st. So yeah, that was exciting.
Well, and now I guess tell me about the fact, will you be watching the final episode, which premieres, of course, Tuesday, September 30th? 10 Eastern and 9 Central on NBC. Will you be watching it along with us? Do they give you a peek at it so you know what to expect and prepare for? Or how does that part work?
We have no clue about what's coming. So only So the only thing we've seen are the little snippets they've put out as like the teaser trailers that I've shared a couple on my social medias. We have no idea. And you know, just like any type of TV, they're going to have fun editing us the way they want to. So, you know, I'm in a group chat with some of my castmates and, you know, we're all a little bit nervous about how they're going to cut us down because all of our pitches were meant to be, it's either two or three minutes long. And there's no way they're going to show our whole pitch, you know? So it's like, they're going to have to cut all those down. So seeing what they pick and what, you know, cause they're all about creating a TV show. They're creating the storylines, you know, and I was going to say drama, but this isn't like really a drama filled show. And even when they tell us in the casting process, like, hey, you know, this isn't actually like your typical, you know, Survivor, Big Brother, It's not going to be cutthroat competition. We wanted to be, you know, kind of happy, upbeat to match Jimmy's vibe. So it wasn't really like a huge, you know, cutthroat competition. And so there wasn't a lot of drama, I would say. But as far as like some of these ideas and how they're going to cut them, I'm very interested to see, because as you guys might know, if you know me or if you have ever seen me, I am a very eclectic character. And let's just say my pitch style is definitely very unique from everyone else's. So I know they can make me look crazy as ever if they want to.
Well, we can't wait to watch along with you. Okay, you mentioned it a little bit. You've been very successful in the quote-unquote real world. So tell us about your day job and what you've been doing and about your family and your life down there in Texas now.
Yeah, so I, have three beautiful babies that I enjoy in our family together. And Braden, Charlie, and Bron. His name is Brandon, because the B in BT stands for Brandon. So it's Brandon Tyler. And his name is Brandon Tyler, because LeBron's my favorite player of all time. So I got mama to work that in there for us. But yeah, no, just being a dad has been, you know, one of the things I've always wanted to be my whole life. And, you know, they played that up in the show for sure. Like, you know, cause I'm kind of like the dad from Texas. You know, one of the places I work at is a honky tonk. Everybody can might maybe plug your ears out there, you know? So that's cause I do marketing, social media. I have a couple different clients. My biggest client would be, Cowboys Red River. And we have a honky tonk in San Antonio as well, where it's an even bigger venue. We had like Jelly Roll played there last year. Megan Maroney, we just had her a few months ago.
Wow.
Chris Young actually is a popular, you know, country artist. He started in Red River's house band before he, you know, made it big. So, you know, there's just a lot of tradition that, you know, comes through Red River as the honky tonk. It's like nothing I've ever experienced. There's nothing in North Carolina that I can point to and be like, this is what it's like. You know, and it's funny because I got a lot of practice with, you know, because the name of the show is On Brand. So it's all about, you know, staying true to what the brand is about and giving them some marketing. Well, you know, at Red River, you know, people always say, oh, drinking, partying, whatever. But that's actually not what my boss wants us to sell at all. He's all about selling like guy meets girl, come be able to dance, have a good time. But it's more about the connection that you make, because anybody that's worked in like a night club entertainment, you know, knows that the bars and nightclubs, it's all about like what's the new hotspot. So it's very hard to stay relevant in that industry with one concept. That's why you see people constantly changing, you know, the industry concepts. Well, Red River has been around for 30 plus years at this point, and it's because that's not the focus. The focus isn't that side of it. It's the, you know, come see live music. We have free dance lessons every night that we're open. And it's just every time that anyone comes to visit from out of town, whether, you know, they're someone that I know, or they're just like messaging me an email, I always tell them, if you're looking for a true Texas, like honky tonk experience, you got to come check out Red River, because that's what you're going to get there. It's a 2,000 person venue. So that's huge. The one in San Antonio is 7,000 people. So it's even bigger.
Wow.
Yeah. So these are pretty big. And then, you know, I have a few other clients, but I would say those are my main ones.
I mean, unbelievable success. And as you mentioned a little bit, a long way from Stedman, North Carolina and Campbell University. You're a North Carolina guy. You grew up not too far away from Campbell. Tell me what got you to Campbell and your experience here.
Well, you know, I'm gonna be honest. You know, I kind of stumbled into Campbell. I only applied to two places. It was Campbell and UNC Chapel Hill. You know, growing up, I was a big Tar Heel fan. And that was kind of like my dream school growing up. I was like, this is where I want to go. But I also liked Campbell because it was, you know, it felt like it had a good vibe. It was close enough to where I grew up where, you know, I could come back on the weekends to see my mom if I wanted. But I didn't make it into Carolina. And so I thought my life was over at that point. I felt crushed. I remember that was the first time I like cried about a goal that I was unable to achieve, you know, because it was just like, it felt devastating. But, you know, after going to Campbell, you know, I told you in our first meetup that, like, you know, I was like Mr. Campbell. I was going to all the events. All my friends would tell you, me and my roommate, we went to all the events, the karaoke's, you know, the video award shows, the bingo nights, anything that Campbell was putting on, mud volleyball, anything that Campbell was putting on, we were going to be there. And I was like, man, this is really one of those moments where it's like that unanswered prayers song, you know, where it's like, you know, God really put me at Campbell because that's where I was meant to be. You know, I still love the Tar Heels as, you know, a sports team, but if anybody asks me, would you change anything about where you end up going to school? I always say, no, I love my time at Campbell. I always promote Campbell anytime I get a chance. I think that it's a beautiful fit for lots of people from lots of different walks of life. And that, you know, Campbell is one of those things I feel like it's grown a lot since I've left. So, you know, I can't really speak much about what it's like there now. But I know at least when I was there, it was one of those schools where you're going to get as much out of Campbell as you put into it type thing, you know, because the school is going to pour into the students and, you know, give you lots of opportunities because they understand Buies Creek is not, you know, some popping metropolis, you know. So it's like, you know, you got to kind of create your own fun in Buies Creek, which I don't think is a bad thing. And I really enjoyed my time there. And I think that anybody that, you know, is looking for places to go, you should definitely at least give Campbell a look.
Well, absolutely. I want you to know there are some things that changes, but that core that you just talked about is still there. And it seems to me, like it's done for so many people, this was a place where you were able to be involved in so many places. You really thrive. How did your experience altogether and being the mascot, you were Gaylord for a while and then you were on the cheer team. How did that help you when you got out of Campbell?
Well, you know, it was kind of like a funny story about how I got to be Gaylord. So, you know, when you get to college as, you know, a fresh little 18-year-old and you're on your own for the first time, one thing I knew was I wanted to be able to have some money, you know, to do stuff. And so I started looking for a job around campus. And the first one that stuck out to me was with the sports department. So we worked the games, you know, at the soccer games, we were the people that shagged the soccer balls, you know, ran the games and all that. And I remember one night, whoever it was, they already had somebody that was playing Gaylord at that time. And one night they were sick. And Will Lloyd, shout out to Will. He was one, you know, one of our, you know, people that were at the top of the thing. He came into us. He goes, hey, guys, Gaylord's out tonight. We need somebody to jump in there and do it. Well, I was like, you know what? I already love to entertain. I love to dance. I love to have fun. And I don't care if people know it's me. So you're telling me I get to hop in here and do whatever I want. People won't know it's me. So I jumped at that opportunity. I was like, I'll do it. So I went out there, did my thing, you know, no mascot training, just kind of like had fun with it. At the end of that night, I came back and Will goes, you're our new mascot. I don't care what anybody says. You're going to be Gaylord from now on. And that's that. And I was like, okay. So that's how I came to be Gaylord and, you know, really enjoyed it. One of the most memorable moments, I think it had to have been before you were there because it was still at Carter Gymnasium. But so Carter Gym was notorious for how hot it would get in there, right? Because it was just, you know, not exactly air conditioned well.
Yep.
And so there was one night where it was just like extra hot in there. And so I thought to be funny, I'd go over to, because where the band used to sit, they would always have a cooler, like almost courtside. And I thought it'd be funny. I looked over there. The cooler was open. I was like, oh, this is perfect. I'm going to go over there and act like I'm trying to cool off. I'm going to stick my head down in the cooler. Just thinking like the head's going to be touching the ice, you know, ha, ha, ha. But I sat there with it in the ice. And because, you know, when you're a mascot, you got to give people time to like see what you're doing. So I sat there in the cooler for a while just to like until I could hear people reacting. And then you start to hear cheers like, oh, yeah, look at Gaylord. He's cool now, blah, blah, blah. And I picked my head up. Well, the ice had melted in the cooler. So my head had been stuck in water for like a minute. So by the time I stand up, water just comes pouring out of the Gaylord mouth to where it looks like literally Gaylord is spitting up water. And I'm talking about, I don't know how it was able to retain as much water as it had, because it's like pouring. And so now I'm like freaking out because I'm getting the basketball court all wet. And then I'm like, where do I go? And so finally I walk over. The only thing I see is there's a trash can right there. So I bend over. So now it looks like Gaylord's throwing up into the trash can because all this water that's just pouring out. And to this day, my friends that were there and saw it will not let me live that down because it was just so funny. I don't remember if they had to pause the game or not, but it was a mess.
VT, that's amazing.
Yeah. It was, and that's a fun thing. And, you know, truly, so all that, you know, goes into being able to put yourself out there. The cheerleading thing, that was a brand new experience. If you'd have told me in high school I was going to be a cheerleader, I would have laughed at you. You know, 'cause I played basketball, soccer, tennis, you know, all your traditional sports. And when it came time to be on the cheerleading team, I was like, I don't know. But I was dating one of the cheerleaders at the time, and she really wanted to do it. So that's kind of like practicing to let her do it. She wanted to learn how to stunt. So I was kind of like a guinea pig. Well, it's one of those things where once you try it, you're like, oh man, this is actually kind of fun. And it actually is like a lot of athleticism that goes into being able to toss another human, you know, into the air until we get to the point where you're holding a human up in one hand, you know, and it's just, it's a lot different than what I expected, you know, growing up. And so just trying new things, being willing to put yourself out there when opportunities come up, has always been a big thing that I got from those experiences. And so, you know, just being prepared when opportunity arises to, you know, take those opportunities and run with them. So that's what I'd say I got from, you know, my time as the mascot, my time as a cheerleader.
Well, BT, you obviously have taken advantage of all of your opportunities, and we can't wait to follow along with you for this one. I know if you're up for it, we're going to get together more as the show goes on, but tell everybody your socials, where we can follow the journey right alongside with you.
Yeah. So you can follow me. It's at Hellevision, Haleo Vision. It's supposed to sound like television, but Hellevision. And then the show is on brand, so it's On Brand Agency, and then NBC and Peacock, they're going to be posting a lot of stuff. So you can follow along on there. And, yeah, I'm excited for the journey. First up is Dunkin'. You know, a lot of people love coffee. Actually, today is National Coffee Day, if you didn't know that. And I know Dunkin's running a promo. Not that I'm still getting paid to promote them or anything, but I know they're running a promo for free coffee. So if you guys are putting this out on Monday, September 29th, I don't know when you're putting it out, but go to Dunkin' and get you a free coffee today.
Man, that's awesome. As you know, Dunkin' is taking over North Carolina now all of a sudden. So
yeah, absolutely. You know what's crazy is when they said that was one of the brands, you know, I grew up in North Carolina, live in Texas. So, I mean, Dunkin' might have taken over more since I left, but I was like, I just remember Dunkin' was just kind of like, you know, oh, it's just donuts. So, yeah. You know, I'm a Krispy Kreme type of guy. You know what I'm saying?
North Carolina.
Right. I'm about that hot now sign. So, you know, I kind of always just push Dunkin' to the side. But, you know, funny enough, even when they told us it was for the brands, I didn't realize they had dropped the donuts part of their name. I didn't even know that they were just Dunkin' now, because they were trying to expand to people to see them as like a breakfast, coffee spot other than just donuts. So that was a unique thing. And I'm really excited for everybody to see this first episode. It's going to air on Tuesday. You know, they've already teased this, so I can tell y'all, you know, my pitch is based around, you know, the galaxy and aliens and take me to your Dunkin' is one of my taglines. So I need all of Camel Nation, after y'all watch the episode on Tuesday, I need y'all to go comment on all the stuff you see about On Brand with a take me to your Dunkin', and that way they know that that tagline is hitting.
Amen to that. Boy, BT, it's been fun catching up. Best of luck on the show. And like I said, I think it's going to be fun. We're going to check in with you as this show goes on so you can give us the insight to it. Thank you so much, BT, and best of luck.
All right. Appreciate you, Chris.